Good evening. So we return now to the text by the third Dalai Lama, The Essence of Refined Gold. And we're continuing to look at the presentation on karma, this being the third talk on karma. We've covered recently the four aspects of karmic law on page 23. And here we were encouraged because we've encouraged that in accordance with this wish we have to only experience happiness, in particular lasting stable happiness, and to be freed from suffering and difficulties, that we need to identify the causes that lead to suffering, and we need to identify the causes that lead to happiness. And the causes, of course, that lead to suffering are those which are non-virtuous, and the causes that lead to happiness are those of virtue. Having identified this, which is another way of expressing gaining certainty of this, the first of the karmic the aspects of karma, then we reflect that it is from these accumulations that we will achieve lasting happiness in rebirth after rebirth, or good rebirths, life after life, progressing to the stable state of lasting happiness. And moreover, we need to ensure that we keep our mind in the direction of virtue, so that if, as long as we don't generate mind such as anger, which serves to destroy previously accumulated virtue, that virtue that we accumulate will not go to waste, which is the third of the karmic aspects. And so in this way, we looked at these four karmic aspects. We continue then looking at this presentation on causality. Near the top of page 24, to prove that the laws of karma by mere force of logic is an extremely difficult and lengthy process, and only one well-versed in logical reasoning can follow the process. So instead, I will quote a verse from the King of Concentration Sutras. The meaning in this paragraph is that I have confidence already now in karma, that first aspect, and meaning that we have conviction that from non-virtue comes suffering and from virtue results happiness. But for us to gain a profound conviction of this through logic and reasoning, this is a very difficult process.
Yeah. 네, 땅 하나 들어오고 이제 땅 하나 들어오고 소수 기부 담아 바로 하나 담아 봐야 하나 저기 이제 다른 하나 들이야 되니까 즉 또 투입이 누가 매봐야 땅 하나 저기 달리 개회 제보다 아니 TV 제보 동아시아의 양한들 봐도 전에 하나도 되네 삼단의 균이 하고 마치자 생각도 또 투 말해서 모두 이렇게 미니베 미니베 시장 안으로 지금 삼다만에 어제 미투 말지가 유연하면 나서 또 벗어 말도 아니 미투 말에 사실 지금 안으로 걸라고 말도 삼미게 미투 말에 내가 말다.
되네 그냥 그 소리들 남나 토켄 대고 남나 토켄 대고에 양키아선 녹당
자주 선배 남 님네 제가 다녀도 랑게 남 님네 제가 근데 그것도 또 보기를 기억해서 그것도 또 두고 와제 개화제바 개화제바 된 지고 뒤지 용거 받아 숨에 뒤가 지나 뒤고 동아이고 그것도 하고 두고 아 두르고 소소 기원하고 담아 버리고 지기 되니 삼다나 삼다 두고 말해지
When understanding this second verse, then it's important to understand who the intended audience is. To prove the laws of karma by mere force of logic is extremely difficult and lengthy process, and only one well-versed in logical reasoning could follow the process. So what this means is that for ordinary beings such as ourselves, it is extremely difficult to gain certainty only through logic and reasoning that from non-virtuous acts comes suffering and from virtuous acts comes happiness. But this isn't the case though for all. Those who have attained a path, who have cultivated a mental path, those who are either bodhisattvas or have attained a hero path or a solitary realizer path, for them, they can realize, based on logic and reasoning, the process of cause and effect. So just to be clear, when it says here that it's an extremely difficult and lengthy process, this doesn't mean for all beings this is the case. It's specifically referring to us ordinary beings. We quote then from the King of Concentration Sutra, and I'll just change one word in the second line. Moon and stars may fall to earth, mountains and cities may crumble, and even the sky may disappear, but you, O Buddha, speak nothing false.
Tadi dinge zingye jebyo do na ma, tadi dinge zingye ya jebo che ya sangye ya chik ya duyama ru shukur wadi. Dinge zingye jebo stoche yon ruwa, di do di jebo che sangye ya shukur ruwa, che sangye ki jebo digi sangye ya duyama sungur wadi siti. Sangye rangyo sungyo ma, do di do di na lo chik di yor wadi.
This being a sutra, then it's the words of the Buddha, but it's the teachings of the Buddha. This particular verse, though, as we can see, is addressed to the Buddha. So despite it being contained within a teaching of the Buddha, it's actually something, a statement that was addressed to the Buddha. And the person here who's made the statement addressing the Buddha is the king that is referred to in the title of the sutra.
Lord, Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first line, moon and stars may fall to earth. This is referring that from our birth, throughout our life until our death, what appears to us in the night sky appears very permanent. The moon is always there, appears as if all the stars are always there. However, this, of course, despite having this appearance, is not the case. These are, of course, impermanent phenomena, meaning they change momentarily and therefore they will disintegrate. They will become, fade away and become destroyed. So here, when it's, and that's the meaning of this first line. So, falling to earth, this we should understand in a poetic sense, not something that the moon will is literally expected to collide with earth, but rather that despite appearing to be permanent, these are changing momentarily, and therefore they will disintegrate and fade away. Despite abiding for millions of years, even something that does abide for so long, such as the planets and suns and moons, these too change momentarily. Therefore, they will disintegrate, fade away, and eventually cease completely. In the second line, mountains and cities may crumble. Now the attention has come down from the heavens down to our world. And similarly, in our world, both the natural world and the man-made constructions, no matter how great they are, such as powerful mountains or man-made structures that are quite impressive, these too are impermanent and will fade away. This we know quite clearly from man-made constructions, but so too for the natural world. Even the great mountain ranges, these too fade away.
Number Shangur Jang, Sidi, that the girls were in the Jinia Shadi, Kama Dan, Dawa Dan, and Zambuli Dan, and the Galen even Sosati, Lutonja Mambu Nazi, Horde, Dinan, and Gatam Gilia, Paji Undu, Saudi Neva, Chasan and Jishin, Don't Sangaji, Tiji Yuva, the number Jurchen, Don't Sangaji Mamma Charo, Don't Sang and Nama Jurchen, Don't Sang Mamma Charo, Gresson, that is the Gawa Gibi, Kishiro, Gawa Gibi, Kaba, Chasan and Jishin, Don't Sang Charo, and then Chasan, Dinigi Tawan, Karma, and Zambuli, Tatil, and Nibi Sosati, Lotonja Mambu Nazi, do skin to the year day, Yinaya, Nimichik, the Saudi, the Toya Meva Chasin, and Don't Sangaji Namki.
And even the sky may disappear. So what this then is referring to, now we can take all three, when you look at the third line, we look at all three together. The world itself, as well as the entire universe, are impermanent, they change momentarily, and will eventually disintegrate, fade away, because they are empty. So at the end of this particular eon that we're living in, this particular eon of our world system, this entire universe and all within it will come to an end, being impermanent.
Number 江水的话, 其他, 你给, 给我, 你那样子, 我的, 江, 江水的, Kene midem baye, ting me sumo chede. Sangye, kyegi, tadini ge dawa kama dan rita, chasang gansam chilya, tongsang cha je yeba dile, namba gyurche, meba cha dugo, tongsang cha dugo duwaas. Cha baye na ya, kene midem baye, ting me sumo chede. Sangye, kyegi, sunye ge chik dilya, sunye che dilya, gedi na, denba jang jang ma do, zun se de, sunye de, zao jini meba res, tadi gyuwa joe me. Tadi nyema lo, mangbo rinla, denba jang yang sun, Ani gansam jilya, jun sunya dine yor besin, di zao yin yom ha, min du yom ha, sanji yin dine yom ha, chesan, sanji ge geji sun bu yin, sun ge chesan, denba, denba ma to, jun sunya dine yom ha, chesan.
Here, just to emphasize this word, and even. So here, we take this poetry to heart, thinking that everything that's perceived, all these impermanent phenomena, they will pass. There's nothing lasting and stable about them, no matter how they may appear to us. All these impermanent phenomena will pass. But the point being made then is expressed in the fourth line, that no matter that all these phenomena will pass and fade away, that everything the Buddha teaches is true, is never false. This doesn't change. That doesn't change. The Buddha's teachings remain true. All Buddhists would certainly agree with what is asserted here. Their understanding may differ with this fourth line, though. For example, when Prasangikas read the fourth line, they will know that the Buddha did teach that phenomena exist truly. Whereas the Buddha also taught that phenomena, no phenomenon at all, exists truly. The Prasangika understands that this, though, that neither of these statements are false, in the sense that neither of them are a lie. Rather, when the Buddha taught that phenomena do exist truly, he was doing so as an expression of skillful means. In this way, he was able to teach in accordance with the individual personalities, the individual karmic predispositions of beings, so that these practitioners could at least accept this teaching and not abandon all of the Buddha's teachings. And therefore, he taught that phenomena do exist truly. But this is not false, this is not a lie, because if it were, it would be not beneficial. But it is beneficial. And when the Buddha taught that no phenomena exist truly, they're all empty of inerrant existence, from the Prasangika view, of course, this is true. This is a valid statement.
Of course.
Now, just below this verse is it's a sentence, and I'll just rather express the sentence a little differently. Bearing these words in mind, in order to gain wholehearted conviction of Buddha's teachings, you should reflect on the following verse 2.
An jizu gyu dunda la garu sungu ore sene nga rang zu gyi deji sheba na shen nga rang zu rupu chigi yinna an gyewa cheba na di tibu gyewa yungure se adan diwa cheba na di tibu dunga yungure se adan nga rang zu gyi hao ko tuku wa ma res chisa nga zu to tuku ma res ma tuku wa yinzang ta nga rang zu la garu chebo ore lana nga rang zu oda de diwa chena dunga yung ma res ne an ha mogo wa yinzang yungu yue na me na che zom sa अने दिखो चेवन चेवने माँ सुल क्यों रह गए चिता दा 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 दिखे वाजे चेने देखी यूं कुए ना मिना सं तेज़म जा मोगा तेज़म सावने दा दी दिखे वाजे ने चो यमा द यूं ना में जीव यूं ना मिना मोगा सं बी संतान दिखे वाल बेजे मचे बने माँ सुल क्यों रह गए चिता गां जुगी मुन्ने जिने गां तो लेग कर जिने दुन्दा दी
So what is then the meaning of what we've looked at thus far here with this in this particular verse? As was said above this verse, let's re-express that. What is the meaning of what we've looked at thus far in this class? It's difficult for us as very ordinary beings to gain certainty solely through our own wisdom and reasoning as to what is virtuous, what is non-virtuous, what will therefore lead to happiness, and what will therefore lead to suffering. It's very difficult for us very ordinary people to come to realize this based solely on our own reasoning. So therefore, it is skillful for beings ordinary such as ourselves, that based on many reasons that we already have trust in the Buddha, we should then have conviction and trust in his teachings, knowing that the Buddha was always striving to benefit, and therefore his teachings are truthful and are honest. And when we have, to the extent that we develop this conviction in the validity of the Buddha and his teachings, the truthfulness, the honesty, the beneficial characteristics of the Buddha's teachings, that will give us conviction in what is virtuous and what is non-virtuous, and therefore what will lead to happiness and what will lead to suffering.
Sanji Yusung La, Shea Tapa, Ni, Yichi, Yabra, Jesse, Sim Ding, Sanji, Kiawa, Jina, Digwa, Digi, Tugu, Jesan, Kiawa, Tugu, Sanji, Sigda, Digwa, Jina, and Dunga, Yungri, Jina, Digwa, Said, Jigio, Mara, Pango, Sue, Jedi, Deni, Sunya, Sim Ding, Nepai, Jigi, Susugi, Yichi, and Yichi, and Dilia, and Kiawa, Juya, Dang, Dibu, Poyala, Jawa, Chevores, and Yichi, Dinianjigi,
As it is expressed here, bearing these words in mind. So this is my retranslation of this line. Bearing these words in mind, in order to gain wholehearted conviction of Buddha's teachings, you should reflect on the following verse also. So before we come to the following verse, what is being expressed here is that for us to gain conviction in the law of causality and what should be adopted and what should be abandoned, This for us will come about independent on our developing wholehearted conviction in the Buddha himself and his teachings themselves. For that to come about, that comes about independent on our general practice of his teachings. The experience that we gain, the inner transformation that we gain from the Buddha's teachings. And it's as we start to see the validity of the Buddha's teachings in our lived experience that we gain wholehearted conviction in the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings, and thereby have unwavering conviction in the law of causality and what should be adopted and what should be abandoned. This is an important point that we need to have heartfelt or wholehearted conviction in the Buddha and the Buddha Dharma. This is really greatly important, especially in this context, because if one has wholehearted conviction in the validity of the Buddha Dharma, then one takes to heart the teachings one receives, seeing them as personal to one's own situation, and need to be applied and applied with great vigor, with great diligence. And thereby, in our context here of karma, we will readily and with ease turn away from non-virtue and embrace, engage in virtue. And we will do so not just with what's important, but turn away from even small non-virtues and readily engage in small virtues too. We will do so readily with diligence. If we don't, though, on the other hand, have heartfelt conviction in the Buddha and the Buddha Dharma, then we'll have some doubts in our mind, and we'll hear the teachings, and we'll say, oh, this may well be true, probably is true, and it will be left there in this grey area, in the murkiness of some darkness. And then we will probably not be very vigilant with our awareness, be so aware of our behaviour, and when we in a situation where we have confronted with the choice of do I do this or do I refrain from it? To the extent that we have doubt, we may well make the wrong choice there. So hence, it's really important to develop this wholehearted conviction. An illustration that's easy to understand, if we're ill and we receive advice from a qualified medical practitioner, and we have no knowledge or experience about this particular illness, if we have doubts in the advice we are given, we probably won't follow the advice, or if we do, not so well. Then no benefit will come from the advice that's given. So here, heartfelt trust needs to be cultivated. If it's not, to the extent that sincere trust is lacking, the benefit that the Buddha Dharma can have on us, the transformative benefit, will be limited.
Mm. 인생 군도 다게니 딩이 바시 삼비 삼비 식 세송도
네. 네. 삼비 그래. 딩이 전족내래.
전족해.
Now continuing in our text, there's a quotation here, it doesn't stay in the text, but it's a quotation from the Bodhisattva's way of life. From non-virtue comes suffering, therefore day and night you should think and rethink how to escape from suffering forever, or to express the last line differently, how to definitely gain liberation from suffering forever. Was said in, part of what was said in connection to the previous verse was that in order to gain heartfelt conviction in the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings, this for us as beginners comes about independent on the cultivation of experience, of inner transformative experience. This is how we develop heartfelt conviction. Sorry, not whether we're beginners or not, for all practitioners. Now, how then to practice? And that is what this verse in the Bodhisattva's way of life is about. Here, looking at the first line, from non-virtue comes suffering. This is a crucial line that the Buddha has presented what is non-virtuous. And he has also presented that these are the causes that will lead to suffering. Suffering both in this life, but in particular in our future lives, and in our future lives both in terms of the realm that our rebirth is propelled to, that the non-virtuous karma ripens as a propelling karma, it leads to rebirth in the lower realms. And moreover, the suffering experiences in our future lives, wherever we are born, all those suffering experiences comes from non-virtue. Therefore, this first line is of great importance. From non-virtue comes suffering.
Jizada migewa le dunga jewa chima nga sona ki nga sona tele dunga pa do me nyong ko chungri se de sanji gi migewa chen de nyong ko sunwa na ji tele yi chi chi du yi chi che che an migewa le de chungri se sem ting de yi chi che chi che da de ji jene an de la nan di je la gar sam dong se de le ji ta nge ta de che ji sa da de ne ge kurbe dunga ka sa ki wa nga sona dunga de ne ge dunga nyong ko ne dunga tele de ganis ta war de ne ma ta na ta u sem bi gi du shi ne sam tang go le che che dang ko wi nga song dunga de de ne gi dunga da sing ye ma de gi mi gi wi che ba la de ne de ne gi nga song la ki nga song ki tele dunga de ne gi nyung go yo ba ne da a ji da de dunga de ma ta na ta mi du che le ganis ta war de ne ta go du sam je de le ji dang ye ta che ganis ta war de le ma ta na ta mi du sam bi sam tang go le che de di sam ba de go mu go le se wo da da la
The first line then, having now, to whatever extent we have conviction and trust in the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings, we reflect that on this first line, from non-virtue comes suffering. Then, in dependence of that, naturally we'll move to what is the second line in Tibetan and our fourth line in English. And I'll use my own translation here. How to definitely gain liberation from suffering forever. So this is the second key point that we reflect on. The first is, from non-virtue comes suffering. And secondly, how to definitely gain liberation from suffering forever. Because when we're thinking about that, from non-virtue comes suffering, we'll gain ever stronger conviction that because of the non-virtue I have engaged in, I have a huge store of karmic seeds that, if they ripen, will only ripen in suffering, including in the tremendous torments of the lower realms. And as we gain a transformative understanding of this, naturally we'll think about what comes up in the fourth line. How can we definitely gain liberation from suffering forever, or freedom from suffering forever? So this then, too, we need to come about with a great strength of mind, leading to this strength of mind, which we can relate to this expression of, I must gain freedom. The situation I find myself in is precarious. I'm in the gravest of dangers. I must gain freedom from this situation.
On the next Samche, this Samatandu's Kongu Regile, Chisada, Migawachi, Dungan, Sonaki, Dungan Yungor, Chisa, Denig, Dungan de la Kans Tower, then Matan, the Tabmit, Sampig, Dele Tarwood, Sampe, Samlodi, and Samlodis, Tane, Nivi, Sumbadele, Ninsem Gundu, Dagini, Dini Bashir Samberix, Signidi, Ninsem Gundu, Dagini, Dini Bashir Samberix, the Dinis and the Genial Saturday.
So these first two lines in the Tibetan, from now virtue comes suffering and how to definitely gain liberation from suffering forever. These are crucial lines to meditate on, and to the extent of our conviction, our trust in the Buddha and the Buddha Dharma, we will gain a profound transformation within us. And we need to do this, as we see now in the remaining two lines. Therefore, day and night, you should think and rethink, or to express it in the way that I usually express this. We need to engage in this meditation repeatedly over a sustained period, reflecting that from non-virtue comes suffering, and that we must definitely gain liberation from suffering forever.
Gave you Chonam Tamjigi, Zawa Meber to be songs. Gave you Chonam Tamjigi, Zawa Meber to be songs.
Cosa.
Deyang Zawa Tatoni, Nemin Jebu Gomba was.
This, as what's expressed in this line, we need to meditate on this repeatedly over a sustained period. This must be done, as it says here, night and day, coming to the realization, the conviction, that nothing is as important as gaining liberation from suffering. This realization that as long as we remain ordinary samsaric beings, every moment we are in danger of falling to the lower realms. Therefore, there's nothing more important than gaining freedom from this situation. And this then leads to the next verse, which is also from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. The roots of all goodness lie in the soil of appreciation for goodness. Constantly meditate upon how to ripen the fruits that can grow therefrom. So here, the method of meditation, the method of practice continues.
Is that give you chona, Tamja, Yakiwa to get it, Luna used me when and Turum Soyata, and Jimmy Yam, and Jacob Luna used me to do Turum Soyata, and Kiwa to get it, yes, or Kiwa did, yes, just like Kiwa Chima, Marson, Yata, Marson, Dumala, Tana, Tana, and it, and the Kiwa to go, yes, Tablam the Kiwa did, yes, or Kiwa to get it, yes, or give you chocks, or that.
Well, this verse, let's read again this verse from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. The roots of all goodness lie in the soil of appreciation for goodness. Constantly meditate upon how to ripen the fruits that can grow therefrom. This then points to the practice that we need to engage in, which in brief is the accumulation of virtue. And this can be expressed in many ways. This, most abbreviated is engaging in the ethical restraint, the practice of guarding our mind ethically, restraining our ethical way, our mind in accordance with ethics, and thereby ensuring our body, our physical behavior, and our verbal communication are all ethical. This and other forms of virtue are what we need to engage in. This is the method of practice. This is what we need to be developing within us, cultivating within us. What we saw before, from non-virtue comes suffering, that's what's to abandon. Here we see that the root of all goodness lies in the soil of appreciation for goodness. This is pointing to ethical restraint.
I'm going to go to the house. And the Kishin, not the Misha Banashi, and Mahombana, and Kiwachima, and Tensamba, then she will do much Toba, Toba Shores, and Lama, cheating and giving she singing that they budget Tabar Shores, and Chain Yamaji, Kokabiabuji, Toba Shores, and Molam Jadi, Chilan Disu Jadi, and Dugi, and the Toro is disordered, the demon big that Delia, Chikopuya, and Kiwi Chama, Duero, other Kiwa, Tana, the Chancho Semkoya, Nija, Toba, whom it in the Yungra, in the Denigida.
The root of all goodness lies in the soil of appreciation for goodness. This then points to the crucial practice that one has to engage in wanting for liberation from suffering, and that is ethical restraint. The ethical restraint of body, speech, and mind. Because this is the primary cause that leads to liberation from rebirth in the lower realms. And this practice will lead, this practice accumulates the causes that when they ripen will definitely lead to rebirth in a good realm and a happy migration of a human or God. In this way, one attains at least a temporary liberation from rebirth in the suffering lower realms. And moreover, because as we can see in this verse, it doesn't explicitly state ethical restraint, but refers to it, it implies it through referring to the soil of appreciation for goodness being the soil from which all good qualities grow, being ethical restraint. But we need to also accumulate further good causes that will lead to a good rebirth. And these will be generosity. Generosity leads to ensure that in future rebirths we have an abundance of resources and we aren't without good favorable conditions. And then thirdly, so ethical restraint, generosity. Thirdly, patience, which ensures we have good health, sound sense faculties, and harmonious relations with others. Fourthly, joyous perseverance, the delight in virtue, the natural inclination towards virtue, the natural disinclination towards non-virtue. So those are the four practices, rounded off with stainless prayers, prayers for a variety of things, but in particular to continue to meet our spiritual teachers, come under their care, and with great enthusiasm request and receive teachings, and similarly with great enthusiasm apply ourselves wholeheartedly to cultivating those teachings within ourselves throughout our lives, developing ourselves ever further spiritually for the benefit of others. This term here linked with soil is appreciation. So appreciation here is given great importance in the way that Shantideva composed this couplet. This term appreciation is linked to soil, the foundation. And this is crucial because appreciation can be expressed also as aspiration. To the extent that one has aspiration or appreciation for virtue, one will readily wholeheartedly engage in the cultivation of virtue, develop virtuous minds within ourselves. To the extent that one lacks an appreciation for virtue, that one is disinclined, that lacks aspiration for virtue, to that extent, one will not be so bothered to engage in virtue. One will be quite distracted from one's weak endeavors to engage in virtue. In fact, one will be quite disinclined to engage in virtue. So therefore, an appreciation or an aspiration for virtue is greatly important. Looking at the progression in these verses, we see that as we reflect on this, we're gaining ever greater certainty that from non-virtue, suffering comes. In particular, the sufferings of the lower realms, that unbearable suffering, this awaits us as long as we have non-virtue on our continuum. And this is to the extent that we engage in non-virtue, the causes that will lead to such an outcome grow within us. We have to, and the more we reflect on this as well as the sufferings of the lower realms, the determination to be liberated from that possibility grows within us, leading to, as we see in the first couplet here, an aspiration for goodness, because we understand that it's through developing virtue, goodness, that we're creating the causes that will lead to good rebirths, and thereby we gain at least temporary reprieve from the possibility of rebirth in the lower realms. So the outcome of these reflections is that the the aspiration to accumulate virtue, the aspiration to turn away from non-virtue grows within us. And here, this comes about through reflecting on this topic, cause and effect. It comes about through reflecting then ever more so on what should be adopted, virtue, and what should be abandoned, non-virtue. And this then, in terms of what should be adopted, is what's expressed in the third and fourth line. Constantly meditate upon how to ripen the fruits that can grow therefrom, the fruits that will grow from goodness, the result of virtue. What I'm hoping then is quite apparent now as we've looked at these three verses, is that if we engage in the way of thinking that is expressed here and meditating on the ways that have been expressed here, then we will have certainty that from non-virtuous ways of thinking, non-virtuous ways of communicating and expressing ourselves verbally, non-virtuous physical behavior, all of these leads to causes, the accumulation of causes that when they ripen as a propelling karma can only lead to rebirth and unbearable sufferings of the lower realms. Moreover, when these imprints ripen during a lifetime, they will only ripen as further unwanted suffering experiences. To the extent that we they have reflected on this, to that extent will come about the determination, I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to suffer anymore, and I certainly don't want to suffer in a worse way than already is the case. I want to be free, not just from the suffering that I've experienced, but from the possibility of falling to the lower realms. I want to be free of this. In fact, I want to be free from suffering in its entirety. Therefore, I will guard my mind, and I'll make sure I don't allow it to go in a non-virtuous direction, and therefore, I will not physically or verbally act in a non-virtuous way. And here, that is the link to not only committing to not engage in non-virtue, but through committing to guard one's mind and ensuring it's not going in a non-virtuous direction, we've opened the door to ethical restraint. We're guarding our mind, and thereby ensuring it is virtuous, ensuring our mind is ethical. We're restraining our mind, we're restraining our speech from being non-virtuous, and therefore it is ethical. We're restraining our physical behavior from being non-virtuous, and therefore it's ethical. And here, not only have we closed the door to the accumulation of further causes that will lead to lower realm rebirth, but we have opened the door to the accumulation of causes that will ripen in a rebirth as a human or a god. And then we, through these reflections, we know that for our lives to have great meaning, we need more than to be born as a human. We also need to have an abundance of resource, material resources, so that we have time to spiritually develop, and we have capacity to benefit others, and therefore we commit to developing the mind of generosity, the wish to give and benefit. We commit to acting in accordance with both ethical restraint and generosity, and thereby being patient, having a mind that's undisturbed in the face of adversity, knowing that this is how we create the causes to have harmonious relationships with others and to have complete sense faculties too. And these practices, with joyous perseverance and prayer, if we combine them, these will all lead to ensure that we achieve good rebirths, have all the required conditions to live a life of meaning, a life where we're spiritually developing and we're being of ever greater benefit to others. So going through these reflections, we'll see that there's nothing more important than turning away completely, abandoning non-virtuous ways of thinking, and combining this with embracing of virtuous ways of thinking, these two together. So we need to meditate on this, reflect on this, contemplate this repeatedly over a sustained period, because the meaning of meditation is habituation. The more we think about this, in particular in dependence on reasoning, not just the mere repetition of a formula, but using reason, so we're going ever more deeply why we should to engage in this, why we should avoid that. What are the benefits? What are the faults? What are the subtler expressions of these, etc.? Using reasons, we gain ever deeper habituation, which means we're becoming ever more habituated to being naturally virtuous, naturally kind-hearted, naturally loving. We're becoming ever less habituated to the opposite way of thinking, being ever less habituated to being self-centered, to being miserly, and so forth. This is how we develop transformative and lasting change. And change, when the change comes to our way of thinking, it means the way we relate to the problems and difficulties in our lives, the way we communicate to others and interact with others, are all transformed.
Dikbiki le cheba cheba na digi chebu ta dikba siyadi anzu simja so cheba ta majimba la sopa migi yulu nga yusum yuka ne migiwa cheba na di chebu talia ngasona kigo res ane ngasona cheba na an dunga yungu res chisa dunga ta anzu ki simja dunruwa nyala sopa ta dindiki dunga tongshin bayi nashin dunga batume ba nyunga susu tongwa dindishi ma tongwa la dindi batume ba yor da nyawa ida dunruwa siya nyawa ida si dunruwa dinga tongko ma si disuli dunruwa ki dunga dili da gyacha chena gyacha gupchu ki ida kondo dunga che yores chena dindi da pe ma si resha dunga diki pe duja dindi dunga dili ta gugo res chisa da dunga ta gugo wanzang dikpa siya da zao ingin jikimindwa sanpeke 디비 디고데 둥어 여바데 삼다 디네 인사다 삼다네 나가서 디고서 자와네 지기미도 삼제 디바데 빵고도 삼제 삼다 고미야 직지 삼다 직지 나네 디바 빵네 가르지 와서네 다 개화 두고래 개화 두고에나 기비 둥어 있으면 그냥 개화 두고에나 디큐레 디기 제부 가르 와서 개화 치마 덴돌레 기그래 덴돌레 개바이나 안 덴돌게 사다 미기 디 디기 뇨아 용고래 안 덴텔야 안 개베 자와 두야다 안 덴레 근데 야야 타야가 고급이어 되네서 개화세디 제바에는 니 제보 대화마도 누가요 민도 최상 개화 두도 선배기 다 개화 마루나 타면도 선배 되니 두시네 제단 니과 제바에는 니 디레 규티과 니 제보 누가요 두 삼타네 누가 디바서 싸우는 지금에 선배기 삼타야 지다 다 개화 제바는 개화 된적이 디 디기 공부를 디 된들 된들한테 개회 자와 샤향 주비하다 판도 니바 친구 제 두두 제상 개화서야도 두구구두 제상 다 개화서 말은 탑민도 선배 내내기 삼타 공부했다 먼저 두스네 금세 삼타 내내기 삼타다 동아 디바 빵구두 선배 삼타 대리아 삼 숙심 못하다 내내 안에 개회기 제보 삼타 개화도 두부도 세베 돈이게 삼바 게 되네 디 델라 라랭 간도 제긴 세베 삼나도 첸 삼다 고미야 델라다 레규데 삼다 와서 레규르 콤바세지 되네 지도 거 디 콤바 삼다 야데 레규데 콤바세지 디세고레
This is our third week where we're looking at cause and effect. Let's now bring together what we've been looking at and into a meditation on how to reflect on or how to meditate on karma, how to meditate on cause and effect. So as with all meditation, we utilize our intelligence, our reasoning. We do this, and it's very easy to do this in the topic of karma, the topic of cause and effect. We take an illustration of a non-virtuous deed, such as killing, recognizing that this brings harm. Clearly it's non-virtuous. Being a non-virtuous deed, as we saw in the first aspect of the four of karmic law, it can only lead to one result, suffering. And if this negative seed ripens as a propelling karma, it can only lead to rebirth in the lower realms. And in the lower realms, one experiences unbearable suffering. Here, when reflects like this, not wanting to be born in the lower realms, not wanting to have conditions incomparably worse than we have now, reminding ourselves that these aren't existences that are merely theoretical, they are beings suffering there right now. These realms are populated by countless more beings than live in the human realm. We know this from our experience in the animal realm, and ever more so in the unseen realms too. So we reflect here, combining the previous meditations on the sufferings of the lower realms here with the reflection on cause and effect, reflecting that suffering that other beings are experiencing right now potentially awaits me because of my accumulation of the non-virtue. And thinking like this, reflecting, here we're using analysis, it's all thinking meditation, using reasons. If I engage in this, that will come about. Naturally the wish arises, I must be freed from such a possibility. I must be freed from such a possibility. And therefore, I will never, ever again, in the accumulation of these causes, I take responsibility for my way of thinking and its resulting speech and physical behavior. And as this arises within us strongly, in the same meditation, we'll naturally swing to the other side of the other part of this meditation, which is in conjunction with my commitment to refrain from any kind of non-virtue, whether it's my way of thinking, my way of verbally communicating, or my physical action. I'll make sure that those three doors are on the side of virtue. This goes together. We close off non-virtue, we open up to virtue. And thereby, not only am I closing the door to the accumulation of the causes for suffering, but I'm opening the pathways to good rebirth. So there's a natural sequence that one cultivates. We move from the one to the other. We commit to not bringing harm, and that is accompanied by the commitment. I will benefit others. I will help others. Because it's in this way that not only am I easing their suffering, but I'm creating the causes whose results I require in my future lives. I require them so that I can spiritually progress ever faster and ever further. And so this meditation on the negative karma that needs to be abandoned and the virtuous karma that needs to be accumulated, is done sequentially. It's done through relying on reasonings, not just through a mere repetition of a formula. And we do it in a way that generates emotion. It needs to be personal, because that is what leads to aspiration to change, to transform ourselves. When we think about how it would be if we were experiencing the suffering of the lower realms right now, this leads us to turn away from such behavior that leads to such causes, rather. Likewise, when you reflect on if our loved ones were there, or the strangers, if we knew that they were about to be born there, how we would relate to them differently. So this is how to skillfully meditate on topics. Use reasoning, make it very personal, so that emotion arises within us. And this is how we lead to an aspiration to change, a determination to transform ourselves. And that is required so that we can with a determination is required so that between meditation sessions, we continue to watch our mind and ensure our way of thinking is always restrained and virtuous. So this is how to meditate on karma. This text here, as we looked at a lot in the last year, is part of the Lamrim tradition. And the Tibetan word Lamrim, or in its full form, Janchopki Lamrim, this means the graduated stages to enlightenment. So Lamrim is literally the graduated stages. It's a progression, a sequence. So the idea is, this is a meditation manual. Our text here, the Lamrim text, our meditation manual. It's a sequence. You meditate on this, and then on that, and then on that. So previously, we meditated on the preciousness of our human rebirth, the kindness of our teacher, and so forth. Now we're on cause and effect, and that's how you meditate on cause and effect. So there's the sequence. But as one sees, the sequence isn't in isolation. It remains influenced by what one has meditated on in the previous steps, as well as influenced by the steps that are still to come.
Jim Jayaki, may when it is so to men, I never Guayalia, and the Kari Ti Guayatan, Pasu Madoa, the best of subject, Campanala, Diogore, Sedition Rangi, and the Chasan Dusene, Tablam, Jesene, Diche, Chasalia, Daniel Chiuchida, Dine Hungores, Di Woody, Dine Hungores, How Goyo, and Chasan, Dine Sam Jenna, and the Kari Worsene. Chasanga Sapsop Shuchene, the Mayagi, Tablam de Karjiwasan, the Dangatamasan, Gawan Majin to be at the Karjiwasan, Karejiadan, Lapa Triadan, and Chipazumadu at the Sapsop Shuji, D. Nazi, D. Wong Goyagi, Mayagi, Tablam Chagrova. Depends if she does what down it, Chasanga Sapsop Shuji Gor, what down it. Karazan Joga de Gassan, did not the Supulis over the Tishu Nagris, the Jew Nagris. Now, Mother, she grits at little. She's undead, she said, this say which I have go answer, they go how go answer, and Tablam tell a piece of shooting which you are silly go over. That denigi Jarag is some madan and the year, chick, denigi, to my who a she grits a piece of shed, madan and the year, and Pazo Chamiana, Damara Chad, Yonsigua, Ungurva, and just that denigi some time in the day, Tablam tell ya. Lalan died, busy chimney when the Lalan Tatu war been tatting out to Pina. Pity Nashing are to give each out to Tadia. Deep you do not table some tire, then give you table some attire to send Tablam Jedi, then you get some tava in that, then it busy chimney going there, Tablam to light, and J to your body, Pity Nashiba Chatu.
This meditation on cause and effect, you're being encouraged to utilize your reasoning to think about, so why am I being encouraged to avoid certain deeds and engage in others? That why is this non-virtuous? Why is that virtuous? What results come from this? What results come from that? What results do I want to experience and don't want to experience? All this reasoning is required. And this is throughout the Buddha Dharma is what the approach we need to take, and it's not something that's unique to the Buddha Dharma. This is how we live our lives. We use our reasoning, always deciding, so what are my options, what are the results of those options, which is the better path to follow. So right now I'm looking before me, I see a video camera and an empty room. There's no one here. And why is that? There's a pandemic in our world, of course. And because of this pandemic, our government, based on scientific advice, has given advice to the Australian people and said, do not gather in groups. Do not go to religious institutions. Don't gather in groups anywhere. Stay at home as much as you can. Wash your hands. Stay a meter and a half away from everybody. And when you go out, be very careful to keep your social distancing and don't touch others. Touch as little as possible as you can, especially your face when you're out. So this is the advice that has been given. So whether you are following that advice or not depends on, one, whether you've heard it, whether you've heard it sufficiently well, and whether you've reflected on it, and through hearing and reflecting on it, whether conviction has arisen within you. If any of those steps are missing, then one's behavior will be quite unchanged. One will be ignoring social distancing, going wherever you want, perhaps trying to avoid the police. That will be the case. But if one has heard the advice and heard it with clarity, so one understands it, heard it enough, so you understand it well, and you reflect on it, so that you have conviction, trust, belief in it, then your behavior has changed. So this, the reason our behavior has changed is we've gone through that process. And why have we gone through that process? There's a particular result we want and a result we do not want. We all have fear of catching a disease for which there is no effective treatment, and therefore if we become severely ill, it's difficult to avert death. We don't want to be in that situation, therefore, not wanting the result, we listen to the advice. We come to an understanding of it, but more than just an intellectual understanding of it, we use reasoning to analyze, does this make sense? Hence it's explained to us in a particular way. We're not just told, do this, don't do that. Reasons are given. And we have the knowledge then to think about those reasons and can transform our behavior. So we see this now throughout society, and that's exactly the approach we take in the Buddha Dharma, in this topic on cause and effect, and all the topics. Gather information, gather a lot of information, reflect on it, reflect deeply on it, and then transformation comes.
Mm-hmm.
Now moving on, near the bottom of page 24. As explained here, abandon all negative activity in general and contemplate the four unpleasant aspects of the 10 non-virtues of body, speech and mind.
Here,
we've been encouraged to reflect on what we've covered down the last few weeks, the four aspects of karmic law, and what's presented here in these verses. We need to reflect on it to come to this determination that all non-virtue needs to be abandoned, whether great or small.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of our physical behavior, we should ensure we do not physically bring harm to others. We also need to ensure that through our way of speaking, our verbal communication, we do not bring harm. And this comes down primarily to a way of thinking, ensuring that even our way of thinking is not non-virtuous. So these three doors need to be guarded. We need to ensure that we don't engage in any non-virtuous acts through our three doors. And these are expressed through a summary of 10 non-virtues. And this is a general summary, but we need to take our thinking to the subtler levels that would be included here, although not explicitly stated.
Nyawa 제고 내민 가위 가르치기를 했잖아. 나는 이달에 야기를 그랬어. 이달 제바이나다 제 제고 미두마 빠그메 바요레스 디네 삼다야세. 다 내민 유두마 이미게 주본 미게 주에 디과 딩 중무 제바이나 디기 가서 마포나 제 둔돌 제 그랬어. 둔돌 제 디네 둔돌 제바네 두마 두주 두마 빠그메 바요 그랬네. 누우치네 삼당 그랬어. 곰 그랬어. 우리다 그 제대로 총숨 제베 내민 내민 가서 내게 와 당시도 가서 세냐와 이다 두루스 내게 와서 그러와
So the order that's written in the English is a little different. So we'll turn over to the 20 to page 25 and now we're going to talk a little further. So we need to abandon all non-virtue through our three doors of body, speech and mind, whether great or small. And the reason is expressed here in the first point on page 25. Because it leads to rebirth in the lower realms. And here, how this relates is that great non-virtuous deeds of great magnitude, when they ripen as propelling karma, because of the strength of the non-virtue, will lead to rebirth in the hells. And in the hells, as we know from the descriptions, the suffering is unimaginable, unbearable, and it is so because of the strength of the non-virtue that leads to such a rebirth. Hence, it's imperative one abandons great non-virtue, powerful non-virtue, but not only powerful non-virtue, also non-virtue of a middling or a middling strength, because when that ripens as a propelling karma, it leads to rebirth in the spirit realm. And also, one should never come under the delusion that weak non-virtues aren't that important, because should they ripen as propelling karma, they will lead to the result of a rebirth in the suffering lower realms and as an animal. So therefore, we need to guard against the 10 non-virtuous actions, which are expressed through the three doors, and ensure that we do not commit a non-virtuous behavior through our speech, or our physical behavior, or our way of thinking. And furthermore, now we see the next three points here. The causally, on page 25, the causally concordant experiential effect is that in a future rebirth, okay, so the Tibetan here is not yet giving these illustrations. So there's a causally concordant experiential effect, the causally concordant behavioral effect, and the environmental result, the effect on the environment. So these are four ways that the karma can ripen.
I don't know, I'm just dealing with the Karasam Dangun, Gumia, some Dangun Labna, that Dibucheva and Dibucheva can achieve and Dibucheva do much Mures, that Dibuch Chimbucheva and Yawal Maki, that Dinucheva and that Yidarke, the Nichucheva and Dunjulke, Chisanta Yawa Yida Dunjusumi, Diva, Casa Denmaki, and D, Duman Yong at Palme, but Mungure, Sampeke, two chin some Dange. Do some done, the negy, some done, Gave each our dubu dos. Gavatuba ina, ta gave ye, Gavatuba and D. Debo Devajanare, Chisan Gavaya putuva and Delia and Manjuki Dendula Yangason attached Dendula Ki to Ware, Chisan Dendula Kiavaina, Tada Mi Devanuayore, and Dimasia, Manjuki Dendu Dendelia, and it Manjuki Kesu Yanjan Kesu Tuyata, Rangi, and Jig Lam Yamlencia, and Dishala Pampa Tuya, then the Chiture. Chitubo, 다라오나시 심전 상마다 동아들 마탄데 탑빛 우 차자다 녀와이다 둔로다 마소다 타가지 동아빠도 메바 뇽아 차서 니비 디모레자다 디니에자 차사 동아라 타고 우도 삼비게 마탄데 탑빛 우 숨베 타고 숨베 삼바다야다 제가 동아 탈려게 된다라 안다 개어주고도 심전 탐지게 된다랴 디기 주야다 마소래 타르제 아니 계산 야라다미고바토야
When one meditates then on karma, I've presented previously how to do so in some detail, so then just to summarize here, that the first step of the meditation is on non-virtue, and here there are two components to this meditation. One starts by thinking that from non-virtue, only suffering comes. So that was the first of the four karmic characteristics. From non-virtue, only suffering comes. And when non-virtue ripens, will ripen in one of the four ways we've just briefly mentioned here, but when it ripens as a propelling rebirth, it can only propel to rebirth in the hell realms, the spirit realms, or the animal realms, the three suffering realms. And what differentiates as to why one would be reborn in one of those realms and not the others is due to the strength of the negative deed. So therefore, all non-virtue must be abandoned. And here, one is meditating on cause and effect, but now when we refer to the lower realms, include your meditations, your prime meditations on the sufferings of the lower realms, include them here. To again be reminded about how awful it would be if I were to experience those sufferings in the lower realms. I could not bear those sufferings. They're inconceivable, so difficult for us to relate to them there, from my own life now as a human. I could not cope with that. And we do this to give strength of mind. And this leads to the conviction, I must abandon all non-virtue. And that is the link to the second step, which is, I must accumulate as much virtue as possible through my way of speaking, my way of acting, and primarily guard my mind, ensure that it's virtuous. Because it's through, and now we go into karma, it's through accumulating virtue I will experience happy results, good rebirths, pleasant experiences in those lives. Again, these four steps, these four points of karmic results that we glossed over tonight, these also ripen for virtue, for positive karma, as a good rebirth, and pleasant experiences in the life. And therefore, and we need to engage in this meditation with great vigor, leading to the commitment to strive to accumulate virtue. So from the first point, it culminated in the commitment, I have to ensure I abandon non-virtue. The second point leads one to striving to accumulate virtue. And then the third general point that one goes into, the third and final point here, is to relate this, now that we've engaged in this meditation, solely from a first-person perspective, relate to others now. No being wants to suffer in the lower realms, and so many are trapped there already. And others who have a good rebirth now, but they remain dominated, their continuum remains dominated by non-virtue, and therefore, there's a very good chance that when their time comes, which could be, their death comes, which could be at any moment, their next breath could well be in the lower realms. Therefore, I have to strive to accumulate a virtue and abandon non-virtue to aid my spiritual progression in life after life so I can become an ever more skilled practitioner and have an ever greater beneficial impact on the lives of others, skillfully guiding them in accordance with their own individual personalities to turn away from non-virtue and to embrace virtue. So then these are, in summary, the three steps of the meditation. First on non-virtuous karma in the lower realms, then on the need to accumulate virtue and the commitment to do so, and thirdly, relating this to others. And then we'll continue here with the presentation on cause and effect next week. Thank you very much.